Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay, now let me go to the top. Okay. So, the joke like I made in shul was that unless you want to eat cold cereal for the rest of your life, you're going to have to know Hilchos Bishul. So, it's important. It comes up a lot, and we'll start. We'll see how far we get tonight. But I mentioned this is part of a larger, program that we're doing, having learning every night now. In the shul, we're doing Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, but we're doing the Tuesday night on Zoom. So, this is a chance to teach some Torah and to review some things that might be, again, it's always unclear what level people are coming in at, but just to start with the basics, then we can proceed. It's always start simple and then we can move to complex rather than vice versa. So, in terms of there are two of the 39 malachas that are cooking and warming up food, which is Havara, right, making a fire, and Bishul, which are cooking. So, those are two separate ones. And in the list of the Lamentes Malachas, the Mishnah says Havara, but it doesn't say Bishul, it says, right, Ofe. So right, Bishul and Ofe are really actually the same thing, but it's just one use like a liquid, right, like baking something versus cooking something, cooking like a, I don't know, a soup or something.
Which is which?
So Bishul is with liquid, and Ofe is okay. is like dry heat, challahs, gotcha. Or stuff like that.
Okay, thank you.
So we understand, the first thing is to point out that with all of the 39 malachas, that it has to be something that was done in either building the Mishkan or maintaining the Mishkan. And those 39 malachas is where we learn out where the 39 things we're not allowed to do on Shabbos. But there's only one out of the 39 that's actually written in the Torah. The other 38 are derived through that. We'll see in a second. But if you look in the first source you have here, this is in Shmos, chapter 16. Vayomer aleihem, hu ashed yir Hashem, Shabbos and Shabbos, kodesh Hashem, machar, es asher tofu, ofu, ve es asher tivashlu boshlu. So you're allowed to ofe, to bake what you need to bake, and you're allowed to cook what you need to cook. Now this is talking about on Yom Tov, that you're allowed to do that. On Shabbos, it says, lo sro esh b'chol mosh v'seichem, v'yom ha-Shabbos. That you're not allowed to have a fire on Shabbos, which was interestingly that the Tzedukim, those who denied the oral interpretation, the Torah Shebaal Peh, they would take it very literally. So they would not have hot food on Shabbos. This is actually the source, according to some, as to why we have Cholent on Shabbos day. Because if you think about it, the only way we could have a hot food is if you had a fire that was burning in your home to keep it warm. So strong is this minig of having cholent or I asked. I have a student. She speaks French, so I said I heard that cholent means like slow cooked in French. She goes, no, there's no such thing. So then she like pronounced it the real way in French, which sounded a little bit like cholent or cholent. I don't know, but like you had to slur a few syllables. In French, like the rule is that you have like a word with like seven letters, and you don't pronounce the next like the last five of them. So.
Right.
there is some sort of cholent, but that's the Jewish minhag of having cholent on Shabbos, because to show that we hold from this idea of having fire in the house, having warm food on Shabbos is a proof that you can only do it that way. So when we see with Shabbos and Yom Tov are similar, there's a few differences. In the pasuk describing Pesach, it says V'yom harishon mikra kodesh, V'yom hashvi mikra kodesh yelachem, kom alecha los yasebohem, ach asher yochal lechol nefesh hu levado yaselachem. So this is the idea of what's called ochel nefesh, that you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov when you can't cook. Bishul does not apply on Yom Tov. You could do that, but you can't cook on Shabbos, obviously. And the Mishnah says ein bein. Yom Tov l'Shabbos ela oichel nefesh bilvad. That the major difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos is the fact that we can yes cook. So it's just basic general introductions. But let's start to get a little bit into what is defined as Bishul. So the post can explain like this, that the definition of Bishul is changing the property of an item through using heat. Again, changing product of an item through heat, but it is not necessarily limited to just to foods or to liquids. Anything. It could even be something that is not edible. They would still have the ability. Hi, Sarah. How are you? Good evening.
Hi.
So So the definition of bishul is changing the property of it. We, I mean, you know, 99% of what we're talking about bishul is going to be related to food items, you know, drinks and foods. But theoretically, the Gemara discusses the thing when a person would like melt lead on Shabbos. That would be bishul. To melt a property using heat would be a problem. But you see here, like heating a food, like softening it, potatoes, or to harden like an egg using heat, cooking, baking bread or dough or any liquids, right? Soups or something like that, even though it's fully cooked, right? We'll see tonight about, you know, like heating up a soup or something like that. But it doesn't have to only be food items, but what we're going to be talking about bishul is going to be specifically related to food. So how is it used in the Mishkan? So there was samamonim. These were these types of dyes that were used. And in order to get the color out, you had to heat it up. And they would heat up the dyes, and that would make the colorful tapestries and the fabrics that were used in the Mishkan. So that's how bishul was used in the Mishkan. And therefore, that's one of the 39. And if this is one of the 39, that's one of the things that we do not do nowadays. The Mishnah Shabbos says that, again, it applies to non-food items. Okay, so now let's get a little bit about liquids. The Gemara says, at a point when a liquid is considered to be cooked, when it reaches the threshold of what's called Yad Seledesbo. Yad Seledesbo means like the hand recoils. Literally, the hand will pull back from it. It's so hot. Okay, now, you know, it's not subjective. Like, oh, I'm a tough guy. I could take a hotter temperature than that. There's a different thing that the Gemara talks about when the water would be too hot to use for a baby. That's you know, we don't experiment, but I'm just saying that the idea. So, what is this Yad Seledesbo? How hot would it have to be? So this, the poskim weigh in. Hi, good evening, Chaya. The weigh in is about 110 would be the lowest. Now we'll see how each one is. The highest it could be is about 160. Those are the opinions of Rav Moshe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Aaron Cutler says 120. But let me give you an example. Mara. Good evening, Mara. Mara knows her boy's in the food industry. How hot, what temperature do you think is like soup that's like too hot to sip? Take a guess. What Fahrenheit temperature would you put that at? Anyone feel free to guess.
90 degrees.
No, 90 degrees is less than room temperature. Be 190 degrees would be what a hot soup would be.
190.
A coffee or a tea, usually when you can sip it a little, that's about 165. And Rabbi Ribiat Sefer, he gives examples of these. A hot shower or bath is about 105, right? Because it's a little bit more than your body temperature. So 110 is hot, but you could easily drink it. That's the lowest thing for Yad Seledesbo. So if a person were to take a room temperature liquid and to bring it over 110 degrees, right? Or if it was 105 and you just brought it up from 105 to 110, that would be violating cooking because it's Yad Seledesbo for a liquid. This would apply to, I don't know, like soups or you know, coffee, tea, anything like that. Now that's the definition for a liquid. For a solid, we have a different definition. For a solid, it has to be brought to the what's called Michael Ben Drusoy. So this guy, Ben Drusoy, was a bandit. He was a gangster, and he was always on the run. He couldn't afford to sit in one place and eat his food. So Ben Drusoy was always running around. He would eat it the split second that it would possibly become edible. So, you know, when you're an outlaw, right? The Jesse James, Billy the Kid. So he had to keep running for his life. So what is that at? So Michael Ben Drusoy, if you would take food that's inedible and to make it the bare amount, you know, of cooking that would make it edible, it wouldn't be so great. You'd want to cook more if you had time, but you don't. So that's called Michael Ben Drusoy, and it's a machlokis. Just scroll down a little bit as to how we define that. So according to Rashi, right, listim haya umevashel bishulo shlish. So according to Rashi, it's 1/3 cooked. So if, you know, it would take If you take 2 hours to cook this thing, so after, 40 minutes, After 40 minutes of cooking this, that would be the earliest it would be edible. So then that would be, if you take something to bring it to one-third cook, is Rashi. And the Rambam, which you have right underneath it, says, Nikbosu al gabi gecholam, yispashal chatzi bishul. So it's half. So Rambam says it's 50% cooked. Rashi says it's 33% cooked. When I was teaching Hilchos Bishul, one of my students, Mirleya, said, and easy way to remember it, Rashi is a third, because Rashi has three letters in his name. So Rashi is a third, there you go. And the Rambam has two mems, so you'll remember two is a half. That was her, it was good, okay, whatever works, but you remembered it. But this is the machlokas again. For liquids, to bring it to the temperature called Yad Soledispo. To solids is to bring it to Maichu Ben Drusoy, which is edible, Rashi and the Rambam. But whether we follow Rashi or the Rambam, you know, who cares? Why are we, you know, basing this upon you know, which what one guy used to eat it, and more or less like this gangster. So the point is that once the food reaches where it could be eaten, you know, at least in a pinch, right, then that's what it's, you've made it now edible. You've improved the food, right? So Abigail's, right? Is Abigail still there in the city? It's done, right? Okay, so for Abigail's, Aleha Shalom, Aleha HaShalom, right? So they used to give you like these, you get in the mail, like your birthday, you get a free steak on your birthday, or I think you get like a week, you get a little window period, you need to go, I think, Bo Bayom, but if you go close enough, you get it, you got a steak at Abigail's. So some people want to get well done, rare, medium, whatever it is. But the point of the matter is that it's edible. And once you've taken a steak, which is, if it's rare, it's inedible, and now you've made it Maichu Ben Drusoy, it's edible. It's not perfect, but, you know, we're already, feel that if I needed to, I could eat this, and I'm not going to come, you know, as we'll see in subsequent weeks, about, you know, adjusting flames or doing anything like that. Okay, so that's over here. The Gemara has the machlokas for the dry foods. It's Maichu Ben Drusoy, which is a half or a third. Now, there is a rabbinic restriction. On a Torah level, if you take an inedible food, if you take, or a liquid, and it's room temperature, and you say, you know what, I'm not going to let it get as hot as Yad Soledispo, or I'm going to put it close to flame, but I'm not going to let it get Maichu Ben Drusoy, I'm going to take it off beforehand. Rabbinically, we don't let you do that, because that's a very, very slippery slope. Let's say you just misjudged your timing or something like that, or you got confused, you got distracted, and you put something near the fire, and then you forgot to take it off, or whatever it was, you got confused, and that you just violated an Isser Doraisa of taking, you know, water and boiling it, or even bringing it to 110, or taking a piece of food. So we don't take any raw foods. This is rabbinic restrictions. Put anything close to the food where it could get to that level, right? So that's what it's talking here about the Yad Soledispo, 110 to 160. And then the solids, dry foods, are Maichu Ben Drusoy, either one-third or a half. Okay, move on a little bit now. There's a concept that's important. It's called Bishul Acher Bishul. Can you recook something? Once it's cooked, is it possible to recook it? So, if I were to ask you, what would you think about that? If I've already cooked something, is it possible to recook something?
You can reheat it.
You can reheat it, right? So, when I reheat a schnitzel, right? Shabbos day now, and I want to eat a warm schnitzel. Am I recooking the schnitzel? Or am I saying, no, the schnitzel's already cooked?
The schnitzel's already cooked, but it can get dried out.
It could get dried out.
It can get worse.
It can get worse. Oh, so okay. That we'll learn about mitzvah viralo. Good, good. So the Mishnah in Shabbos, here we go. Kuf mem hey, says like this: Kol shebo bechamin be'erev Shabbos, me'erev Shabbos, shorno so bechamin b'Shabbos. Anything that was already cooked, meaning put in hot water, it's cooked before Shabbos, you're allowed to maintain it. You can keep it in there on Shabbos. Okay, so if anything was not cooked before Shabbos, you can rinse it, but you can't soak it, with the exception of these types of like fish, right? Because there zuhi gemar milachton, that even by pouring hot water over it would end up cooking it. So this Mishnah is basically telling us this idea that anything that's been cooked already before Shabbos, there's no problem with it getting recooked again on Shabbos. Once it's already, you know, so again, if I were to ask you, is this talking about a solid food or is this talking about a liquid? It's unclear. It's unclear. I'll scroll down a little bit more. It seems to be talking about a dover yavesh, which means a dry food. So if it's a dry food, once it's been cooked, so yes, yeah, the schnitzel could get ruined, but you can't, it's not a question of bishul, it's a question of not having tasty food for Shabbos. Right. Once your schnitzel is edible and it's cooked, so everybody agrees, we're talking about a solid, dry food, once it's cooked, there's no problem anymore. Ein bishul acher bishul. So a deli roll, you could reheat. Let me think, what else was that? Potato kugel. These are all, now, oh, you'll ask me, potato kugel, but it's got all the grease. Now, that grease is just for the flavor. We still consider that to be a solid dry food, even with all the geschmack juices and oils, and it's not too healthy, but it tastes good. So that's a dry food. Now, a dover lach. Do we say that there's a concept, a concern for reheating liquids? So that, the Rashi quotes Rashi, who says yes. So when Rashi makes a distinction, and Rashi would tell us that, well, it's true for a solid dry food, there's no problem with heating it up. If you have a liquid that is no longer Yad Seledesbo. Now, here's the kicker. We had said, on the one hand, maybe it's only 110. So if I'm starting something, it's at 105, and I violated just by making it go 5 degrees up to 110. But the other extreme temperature was 160. Maybe that's Yad Seledesbo. So, according to this, if Rashi's telling us, Rashi's saying you can't reheat a liquid if it's gotten below Yad Seledesbo, I can't reheat something that's at 159. I can't bring something from 159 one more degree to 160. I can't bring from 130 to 160. I can't do that because maybe it's dropped below the threshold of 160. So according to Rashi, and this is where the Rosh is learning it, that there is a problem of reheating liquids on Shabbos. So that's Rashi's opinion. Then there's the Rambam who says no. The Rambam says there is no distinction. Just like there's no problem of cooking, reheating a solid dry food, the Rambam says there's no problem of reheating liquids. So now, we'll have to see who we follow, Rashi versus the Rambam. But again, just to clarify, it's always good to point where the case, first of all, where everybody agrees, and then move to the case where there's the machlokas. Everybody agrees by a solid dry food, no problem. The machlokas is about reheating a liquid. Rashi is Ashkenaz, the Rambam is Svard. So you can smell a little bit where we're going on this one. Okay. Oh, the Minchas Chinuch over here has he explains what the machlokas is, that by a dover yavesh, a dry thing, when you're cooking, you're improving it, right? You're changing a little bit. But lach means just heating it up, making it Yad Seledesbo, excuse the type over here. But once it cools down, then it's cooking it again because the heat is gone. That's what Rashi says. The Rambam says no. We define cooking something as improving it, right? And you improved it. What's the proof that you know, even nowadays, would you drink water from a faucet that wasn't purified? Back in the day, the Prima Gaudium points out that even water, that's benefit to it. Even though when I boiled it up now, I boiled out all the impurities, and then what's it called? Now it's drinkable, even though it's not hot anymore. I purified, I improved it by boiling it out. I remember years ago we went to Eretz Yisrael. They had a thing called Chavayah Karim. You go into the in Shalavim. You could go and pick grapes, and then you could take off your shoes. You had this little Israeli kid with a hose. He would like wash off your feet for you, and then you could go stamp on the grapes, and like it went down the thing, and you made your little wine. Well, not wine, grape juice. So we did that. It was a Friday afternoon in Shalavim. We made the grape juice. The Israeli kid like washed down our feet for it. It was not probably the most sanitary thing. So we wanted to use it for Kiddush that night. So we ended up boiling it. Our hosts ended up boiling the water, the grape juice, before using it. Because, you know, you got to get all the things. So the idea behind boiling something or cooking it is that there's an improvement to it. So at the end of the day, how do we paskin? So in Shulchan Aruch here, this is Shin Yud Ches, It comes out, I'm not going to read it for you line for line, but I'll tell you like this. It happens to be, it's a machlokus. The Rambam, who's Sfardi, the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo, follows that Pesach, and he will hold. Sfardim will reheat solids and will reheat liquids, whereas the Ramah has an interesting idea. The Ramah right here, if you see it says Haggah, he says, Yish Omrim Davki, Imis Tami Viafalo, one second, is that it? Lonitz Tanin Legamre. It didn't go all the way down. That's the way the Ramah learns. If it didn't get to all the way cool. Okay, so one second. Right, the Ramah writes here that it's a compromise that whether by the reheating liquid, if it's still a little bit hot and it hasn't cooled off, then you don't have to be worried about it. We can rely upon this. So there's a difference of opinion how to understand what was the Ramah really saying over here. Right? The Ramah says that it's like a compromise about by the liquid. As long as it's not totally cooled off, then you can do it. So the Chazon Ish says that really what the Ramah is learning is that ein bishul achar bishul. There's no problem. There's really no problem with reheating it. However, I mean, he agrees. He said he agrees to the Mechaber. But it's all about perception. We're concerned. We're strict. We have a chumra. People are going to get confused. And they say, one second, I had my hot water. I had my coffee. And it's cold now, but I reheated it because it was hot already. So now I'm going to take a brand new coffee, a brand new tea, a brand new soup. And just like I reheated this liquid, I can reheat that liquid. So it comes along the Chazon Ish and explains pshat in the Ramah is that, what? That it's really astringency, so people aren't going to get confused. They'll be, they won't have the correct perception on things, what happened. So therefore, we don't do it. And if you were really to cook up something for the first time, that's an Issur D'oraisa. It's a Torah violation. That's the way the Chazon Ish understands the Ramah. The Magen Avraham says, no. The Ramah really holds that there is a problem, but you have to figure out, you can't reheat liquids, but at what point do we actually say, Ozl Bishui, that the cooking has left. Elvis has left the building. The cooking has left the liquid. At what point do we say that it's gone? So it's unclear. So it would have to be when it would really get to what? We'd have to get to the point where it would be room temperature, and then at that point we could say with certainty that the Bishul has gone. Just to point out one practical application of this, let's say a person is making a coffee, a tea, you're making tea. And now you drank your tea, l'chaim, and you have a few little drops left in the bowl. So would I have to dry out those drops from the coffee mug to if I wanted to add more in? So that would depend really upon this machlokus over here, the Chazon Ish and the Magen Avraham. Is it really a problem of reheating liquids or not if it's still a little bit warm? So if it's a perception issue, so then, what would people think? Or it's really just there's a yesh bishul. So when I was discussing with Rabbi Simon, he told me that there's grounds to be makil on this question. We can be lenient. We don't have to dry out the cups if you wanted to pour from a kli rishon directly into that to warm it up. Okay. Good. I hope that this was a good, maybe it was a review, maybe it was some new things tonight. Mir Tzashem, we will pick it up next Tuesday night as well, continuing. And probably we'll discuss the different, like a Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi, how all these things work from transferring from one to the other. Are there any questions?